From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Daniel Schlins, age 42, of Grand Marais, was charged Monday in St. Louis County District Court with two counts of premeditated attempted first-degree murder. The charges were made by the Minnesota Attorney General's office. Additionally, Schlins was charged with one count of assault in the fourth degree, one count of possession of a dangerous weapon with ammunition within a courthouse, one count of resisting arrest, and one count of possession of a weapon by a felon. Quote, "The shooting of the prosecutor and the trial witness inside a courthouse strikes at the foundation of the pillars of justice," that according to Minnesota Attorney General Lori Swanson in a statement released with the news of the charges. The Attorney General's office is prosecuting Schlins at the request of the Cook County Attorney. Schlins is accused of shooting Cook County Attorney Timothy Scannell, who is 45, and Gregory Thompson, who is 53. Thompson was subpoenaed as a witness at Schlins' trial on charges of criminal sexual conduct. Schlins had been found guilty by a jury minutes before the shootings. County Commissioner Jim Johnson said there are many threads in the community that need to be tied up after the December 15th shooting in the Cook County Courthouse, where two people received multiple wounds. Johnson talked about the incident with me on the AM Community Calendar program. And with me in the studio is Commissioner Jim Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, there was a county board meeting yesterday at the courthouse. I hesitate to say things were back to normal. Tell us a little bit about what that was like.
Well, we had a meeting for the employees starting at 8 o'clock, and the courthouse opened for the public at 10. So we crammed, you know, the employees of the county, including the highway department and law enforcement and everybody that was a county employee into the commissioner's room. And we had some of the experts in crisis management and counseling give us a little heads up on what our reactions to this, of course, this incident on Thursday.
And this would be the shooting in the courthouse.
Yeah, and it's going to take a while for us to get back to, he called it a new normal. And, you know, like they say, time will heal, but it's right now it's pretty raw. And that was the purpose of the first 2 hours, is to get everybody together. And I think for the community, too, it's important. The two things he said is to talk. Don't keep this, your emotions and your feelings, bottled inside. It's good for everybody to talk about how their reactions were. Talking is the one thing. And the other thing, interesting, is exercise. Getting,
really?
Getting out and walking, and I suppose you sort your thoughts out when you walk. So that was advice he gave to the people that were there. Then we broke out into small groups, and for about an hour, the small groups talked about their individual reactions to what had happened.
Because I imagine everybody that works at the courthouse was in the courthouse last Thursday.
Well, it was after four when it happened, so some had left and mm-hmm. some were still there. And, of course, the jury was still there. And so the people that were there talked about how they felt about hearing all these sounds out in the hall and knowing that they're supposed to kind of hunker down and protect themselves in an unsecure situation, and yet hearing cries for help. And that is going to be obviously something they're going to have to deal with for a long time. And there were people that weren't in the courthouse that were worried, of course, about their friends that were there. And so there was a reaction that they had as well. So it was a very good thing to kind of talk this through. And then at 10 o'clock, we opened the doors and
tried to get back to business.
we're open for business. And, of course, we had our commissioner's meeting at 10:15, and there weren't a whole lot of things that were pressing that came up. There was going to be a closed session on negotiations, but the negotiations were occurring in the courthouse during the shooting. Ooh. And obviously there was no Reza, nothing to talk about there because, you know, everything stopped when that happened. We all, you know, it was a horrible situation, and there's so many threads in this community that we all kind of hang on to, and one of them, when those threads get frayed, it takes a while to weave them back together.
Jim Johnson, County Commissioner, thanks for stopping by and talking with us.
Yep, thank you, Jay.
On Wednesday of this week, Sheriff Mark Falk also talked about the courthouse shooting incident on the AM calendar program. You can find the complete interview on the Boreal homepage and on our website at WTIP.org. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said this week it's ending federal protections for wolves across the Great Lakes region. The agency's official notice will be filed December 28th in the Federal Register and will take effect on the 28th of January, when management of wolves in the region will be put back in the hands of state and tribal resource agencies. In a statement, Fish and Wildlife Service Director Dan Ash said, quote, "Gray wolves are thriving in the Great Lakes region. We're confident state and tribal wildlife managers in Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin will effectively manage healthy wolf populations now that federal protection is no longer needed." U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, who is a member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, said returning wolf management to the states will help restore balance to state natural habitats while keeping Minnesota's livestock, pets, and residents safe. Wolves have been protected in the region since 1974, when only about 500 remained, and all of them in the Superior National Forest. Now, more than 4,000 wolves are estimated to roam across the region, some 3,000 in Minnesota and more than 700 each in Wisconsin and on Michigan's Upper Peninsula. In a repeat of last year, it appears that weather will delay the start of Grand Marais adventurer Lonnie Dupree's bid to become the first solo climber to summit North America's highest mountain during January. Dupree had hoped to fly the 60 miles from Talkeetna, Alaska, to an elevation of 7,200 feet on Mount McKinley earlier this week. He said, "We're up to our keisters in snow here." Dupree said, "It's typical. Hurry up and wait. We did it last year. We were supposed to get on the mountain on the 27th and didn't get there until the 9th of January." Dupree spent 22 days alone on McKinley last winter in his first solo bid to summit the mountain in January. The ascent ended after a storm pinned him down at 17,200 feet for several days. Dupree decided to start this winter's climb early in hope of avoiding some of the bad weather and to make the summit attempt with a full moon on the 9th of January. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.